James.
Yes, good.
We are 1 week away
from
our 100th episode.
That's a fact, folks.
That's big.
Yeah.
Well, I was excited just for that later.
Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you today?
Oh, man, I am great, James. Just got back from a weekend full of 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. every single day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was a busy weekend for work, but it was a very good weekend for work. It was really enjoyable to be on the little trip experience thing that I got to do. But how are you, James? That's the better question. How are you?
Well, I don't know. See how that's a better question, but...
It is a better question.
It's the same one rephrased.
You have another dog.
Well, no. No, just dog sitting. That's
okay.
All. Yeah, that's not
It's just
ours.
The 30th.
Oh, my Lord.
You're getting close.
She's adorable, though.
She is.
Finally got to get some yard work done this weekend. That was exciting. Yeah. Looks way better. It looks presentable.
Are your trees producing?
Not yet. We're going to get some serious apples this year.
Good.
Strawberries are looking plentiful.
Good. I need some apple pie in my life.
We're going to do that, man.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
All right. Let's talk Steelers, baby.
Yeah, man. All kinds of stuff going on. First, the schedule was released, Cody.
The schedule was released, and I can't say that I'm not a little stressed.
Yeah, man. I mean, could they just give us a home game to start the season ever?
Nah.
It's been 7 years now. 7 years straight that the Steelers are on the road week one.
I almost feel like that should be a thing where every year it changes.
Yeah, every other. Every other. Because if the Steelers are away 7 years in a row, somebody's got a streak going on where they're home 7 years in a row.
You would imagine. I'd be really curious to see.
Probably the freaking Patriots. Ravens.
Maybe. No, not the Ravens. They're not that favored.
NFL loves the Ravens.
Really?
Yeah, it's
Why?
It's disgusting.
Oh, well.
Cause
I haven't noticed that. But that's just me. Oh,
I noticed it last year when they got to postpone their game 18 times because they couldn't be responsible with COVID.
He's a little cranky, ladies and gentlemen, but we'll give him that one. That one was valid. Valid excuse.
Yeah.
For thinking the Ravens are favored. But yeah, let's go ahead and go through the schedule, and we will say, you know, when we think we're going to win, when we think we're going to lose, and then at the end we'll look at the record count and see where we're at. This is the first year with 17 games instead of 16, so that is definitely going to be interesting in and of itself. But starting off week one at the Bills.
At the Bills, man.
It's going to be a tough home opener for – I mean, excuse me. It's going to be a fun home opener for the Bills, a tough opener game for us. I don't want to say this, but I think we lose that game.
I'm on the same line of thinking, unfortunately. I just think that's going to be really difficult. The Bills are coming off of a very good season. Pittsburgh didn't finish the year well, so they need to start a lot better than how they finished. I think Buffalo is clearly the second best team in the AFC right now behind the Chiefs. And they're going to push the Chiefs this year, and I don't think that's an easy way for Pittsburgh to start the season. Not that they ever get an easy way to start the season.
Yeah, and I will say that if this game was later on the year, it would be a lot harder for me to say a lose. But week one at the Bills, that's why I'm saying lose.
Yep.
Week two, home against the Raiders, our home opener. We discussed this a little bit before the show. We always have a tough time playing the Raiders for some stupid reason.
Yep.
But I'm going to go ahead and say we win this one. It's our home opener. Pittsburgh typically does well in their home openers, and I think we get this win.
Me, unfortunately, I have watched the Steelers lose time and time again to the Raiders, even when they are just absolutely pitiful, and I have no faith that this will change anything, and I really hate to say that I think the Steelers are going to start the year 0-2, but I need to see the Steelers beat the Raiders before I start saying they're going to beat the Raiders, and I don't remember the last time that they beat them.
Fair. Week three is going to be home again against the Bengals. I have us winning this one. It's a divisional game home. I wouldn't be surprised if I split all of our divisional games this year, just saying, because our division is going to be that tough.
Yo, también. I'm also in on the Steelers beating the Bengals. I don't think the Bengals did enough to improve their offensive line. selecting a wide receiver in the first round when they could have had the best offensive tackle in the entire draft. I think that's going to come back to haunt them, and TJ and Alex are just going to have their way at the quarterback. I think they're really going to beat up on him, and Joe Burrow could end up missing week four because of the beating that he takes week three.
Fair. Week four is going to be at the Packers. I will say this. If Aaron Rodgers is still on the team, I think we lose. If he's off, I think we win. Ooh. That's my opinion. So I'm going to say, assuming he's still on the team, I'm going to say lose.
All right. I am going to contradict you on this one. I'm going in the win column. I think there is so much turmoil in Green Bay that by week four, it's going to be ready for a self-implosion. And I think Pittsburgh is going to be running on four cylinders by then. I think you should have some solidified things figured out as far as offensive line play. Kendrick Green should be really comfortable in his starting role at center, hopefully. By then. And I think
sneak Najee, peek to the rest of the episode.
Yeah, I think Najee's really going to get going too at that point in the season too. They'll find some. I think what they'll discover at that point is that they can really do about anything with him, and that's just going to make him really blow up as far as his productivity. I see it starting against the Packers, and also partially because their linebacker core is not that good. So I would expect Najee Harris, Eric Ebron, and Pat Freiermuth all to have big days against that Packers defense. Week five, we've got the Denver Broncos, and it's in Pittsburgh. Thank goodness we don't have to deal with the altitude.
No, but at this point, I don't believe we have anyone on the team who can't make that. Ryan Clark was always the one to miss those games in Denver. I think we win this one. Drew Lock or whichever quarterback they wind up running with, at this point, who knows? I think we beat Broncos no matter who's at quarterback.
Yeah, because who they have at quarterback, all of them are not good.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on that. That puts me having the Steelers winning three in a row there after losing the first two. And we are both at the same record at this stage in this. We're both at 3-2, and largely there for me with the Broncos. I just don't feel that they're that good. And it's the quarterback position, man.
Yeah,
They've got some real weapons on offense, but if you can't throw it to them, it doesn't matter.
Yep. And there's not a whole lot. Like, listen, Von Miller's going to get to Ben once or twice. That's probably a given.
Maybe. Chooks has played real well.
That's true.
Chooks
that's
shut
true.
Him down.
That defense is too good to say it's going to be a blowout. Yeah. But I do think it's going to be I think that'll be the first good game for Pittsburgh. Going on, like you said, running on all cylinders. Week six, home again against the Seahawks. This is our first primetime game on Sunday night.
Sunday night.
So going into the bye week, we get a Sunday night football game, which is great. And I have us beating the Seahawks.
Ooh.
I think we played them well last year. They haven't had any crazy additions. They added some depth at the in the draft and some key players. But I don't think that they're going to be... I don't know. I just think that with TJ Watt applying some pressure, Russell Wilson isn't going to have the time or the mobility that he normally has against other teams. I think we win.
I think this is going to be one of the toughest matchups in the first 6 weeks. I think this one in week one versus the Bills will be the toughest too. It makes it very difficult for me to say that I think they're going to beat Seattle because I think the team's speed that Seattle has, especially with DK Metcalf. He is so big and so fast. And the Pittsburgh secondary, other than Minka, is not fast.
Fair.
And that really concerns me. You can't really have a tie, right? I can't have a tie. I don't want to call
it a tie.
I'm not going to put a tie in here. Oh,
screw it. If you want to put a tie, go put a tie.
No.
It happens.
Nope, we're going W. I'm going to join you in the win column, although I think this is going to be a very close one. That'll be like a 1 or 2 point victory, a last second field goal, something like that. I don't expect either team to walk all over the other in this one.
Well, that moves us on to the bye week, where hopefully we get a dub with being rested well.
Yeah.
And then week eight is our first time playing the Browns at home. I do feel, the Browns home for the Steelers at Cleveland. Yes, the Browns at home for the Cleveland. So we're playing the Browns in Cleveland. I think we win this game. Believe it or not, everyone's saying the Browns are great. They are great. I won't deny that. But I think after coming off the bye week, well rested, it's a Halloween game. I think we win this game.
I think that this game will very heavily rely on the health of Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt. I think those two guys can impact the interior offensive line of Cleveland very heavily. And having that bye week right before it leads me to think that there's a good chance that those two will be well rested and healthy going into that game. I'm going to put them as a revenge game here. After losing the last two in a row against the Browns, they're going to be really angry about it. And I think they're going to beat Cleveland in Cleveland that first game.
I like it. Week 9 goes back to Pittsburgh, and we play the Bears, the newly acquired Justin Fields. And this is a Monday night game. I am going to say we beat the Bears. I don't think Justin Fields, although he's a phenomenal quarterback, I think he's going to come in and play great. I don't think he's going to have enough time. I don't think the Bears offensive line is all that great, and I think that our defense will just outplay them offensively. I think they'll put up some points late in the game, but I think that we get this dub.
That's a Monday night game, right?
That is a Monday night game.
Yeah, I like our chances on a Monday night, especially if we end up going against a rookie quarterback. Pittsburgh has a way of really frazzling rookie quarterbacks, so I'm gonna join you in the win column against the Bears. I think they're going to pull it off. What about the Lions the following week?
So the Lions are a wild card, in my opinion. With the addition, or the trade, I should say, Jared Goff not having Matthew Stafford anymore, I don't think Goff is as bad as people claimed him to be. He just led a team to a Super Bowl a few years ago, even though it was the worst Super Bowl I've ever seen in my entire life.
that one was really bad.
I think that this one could genuinely go either way. I think the Lions made a lot of key additions over the last few years. And they have some talent on that team. I think especially at that tight end position, you think of TJ Hawkinson. They had Jesse James, but they don't anymore. I think that this is going to be a really close game, but I do think that we come out with the victory here.
I'm not convinced this is going to be that close. I personally think Jared Goff is about washed. I think he's one more season away from people looking at him the way they looked at Wentz this last year. Mm. Just the guy that started his career off hot and then tapered off and lesser every year till you're not even so sure that he's a starting quarterback anymore. I would say the way the Rams basically dumped him to try to get rid of his roster and get rid of his payroll makes it look to me like you might see some guy you'd never even heard of starting that game by that week. I'm going to say that Pittsburgh wins this one, I think, a little bit easier than you do.
Fair. Week 11, we go ahead and head out to the L.A. area and play the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
This is our third primetime game, week 11, Sunday Night Football at the Chargers. And I'm not going to lie here, Justin Herbert played insanely well last year. They have a lot of talent on that offense. You think of Keenan Allen. I can't remember who their running back is right now for the life of me, but I think that team has a lot of talent. Their defense is actually pretty stout. You know, you got one of the Bosa brothers on that D-line. I think we lose this game. I think we lose this on Sunday night primetime. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I'm in the same column again. I hate to make it sound like a broken record here, but I think the way Herbert looked last year, I would expect him to probably light our secondary up because there is right now some weakness going on there. So I think that he's going to really shine on that primetime matchup, and Pittsburgh gets back in the losing column week 11 against the Chargers. But there's good news. The following week, they play the Bengals again.
They do. They play at the Bengals, and I expect at this point either an offensive line to have made improvements over time or for them to have gone out and made some type of trade to improve their offensive line, and I have us losing to the Bengals. I think that we're going to split, like I said at the beginning, I think we're going to split all of our division games this year, or very easily could. And I think that Joe Burrow plays well enough with T. Higgins and the other new guy they just added. I think Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase.
Yes, Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. I think that team is very talented. And with the lacking depth as far as proven depth at the cornerback position, I think they have a field day with us the second meeting. And I think it shows us some things we need to work on towards the end of the year. I think we lose the Bengals.
I think it's going to be a lot closer matchup than the first time, but I do believe Pittsburgh will be able to sweep the Bengals this year. I think they're one more season away from really getting in the running with the AFC North because the Steelers, Browns, and Ravens are all just, to me, a step above where Cincinnati is right now. So I'm going to say that Pittsburgh does win this one against the Bengals. But we start getting into December at this point, and it is a really rough end of the season for Pittsburgh.
It is.
We're looking Ravens, Vikings, Titans, Chiefs, Browns, and then Ravens again. Jeez, man.
Yeah, we could very easily lose the last six games.
Did the Vikings go to the playoffs? Are all of those playoff teams?
I don't know if the Vikings went to the playoffs, actually. I think they missed last year.
That's...
For whatever reason, I think
they
missed. Even
if they did miss, everybody else at the end of the year is a playoff team.
Yep.
That's tough, man.
Yeah, so that first meeting with the Ravens doesn't come until week 13, December 5th, and it's home versus the Ravens on a mid-afternoon Sunday game. I think we get the dub at home against the Ravens. I think Pittsburgh now having fans back in the stadium makes a big impact in this game specifically, and I think we chase Lamar Jackson all over the field, and he gets sacked a couple times.
Yeah, I think this is the one they win against the Ravens. Pittsburgh's got a way of really making Lamar turn the ball over. He struggles holding on to the ball against Pittsburgh. He fumbles. He throws interceptions. Pittsburgh's just got a way of really frustrating him, and I think that they can continue that in Week 13 on that 4 o'clock kick and take advantage. And TJ will probably get right on by Alejandro Villanueva a few times, I think. And if not, then Alex probably does.
Yep.
If not, then Quincy Roche probably does.
If not, Henry Mondo probably does.
Oh, let's tease it now. Let's talk about it. I'll talk about that in a minute.
We will. We'll get to that.
I got a crazy idea you guys are going to hear.
So the Ravens. So next game, week 14, December 9th, at the Vikings. This is another primetime game. This is our only Thursday night primetime game. So short week going from the Ravens to the Vikings. However, it's in Minnesota. I have us winning this game.
I'm on the opposite side. I think that Pittsburgh doesn't play very well when they have only a little bit of rest like this. Going to Minnesota puts them at a disadvantage because you're going to have that one day of travel as well. So they'll probably only get like 2 days to practice. And good luck not being sore after a game against the Ravens when you're playing 4 days later. So I think Pittsburgh will not be fully healthy for the Vikings game and will lose it because of it.
That leads us to week 15, December 19th, home versus the Titans. I think we win this one. I think at this point you're going to start seeing Buddy Johnson, if already not in that starting lineup with Devin Bush, he's going to be taking full force of that second middle linebacker position, and I don't think that we're going to give Derrick Henry the room to get to open field, and I think Ryan Tannehill is going to be having an off year. I just don't see us losing to Titans, especially at home.
Yeah, I think the Titans game is going to be a very difficult one. It's tough for me to say that I think they're going to straight up win it. I think you're going to see a really fun rushing battle. Najee Harris versus Derrick Henry, two of the biggest, strongest backs in the NFL. I think it's going to be a close one. And I'm going to say just because Pittsburgh has the extra rest and it's at home, I'm going to give them the win on this one. But I do think this is going to be a very difficult game, and I think it's probably a very low-scoring one at that.
Fair. So next week, December 26th, the day after Christmas, we are at Kansas City for a Sunday afternoon game. I believe we obviously lose this game. I don't want to say obviously, but I do believe that the Chiefs just have more playmaking ability than us at this point, and I don't think that we have the speed on defense to keep up with them deep. You talked about it with DK Metcalf. Well, I'm talking about it with Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill,
yeah. It's worse
all
with
of
the
them.
Chiefs. Yeah.
So I think we lose this one, sadly. But yeah, I don't think you're going to disagree with me on this one.
No, this is the fastest team in the NFL on offense, and the Steelers' secondary is one of the slowest in the NFL at the corner position anyway. The safety is actually pretty fast. But realistically, when your fastest guy in a secondary is what, an upper 4.4, what's Minka probably a 4.47 or something.
Yeah.
I think Edmonds ran a 4.49. And you're talking about guys that ran in the 4.2s. Yeah. And our corners are 4.5s and 4.6s kind of guys. Like, that's not going to go well. I think the Chiefs put up a lot of points and make the Steelers really reconsider their draft strategy for the next season and reprioritizing high-end athleticism at the cornerback position for the following draft year.
Yeah, and so that leads us to Week 17, home versus the Browns. For another primetime game, our fifth and final primetime game. This one's on a Monday Night Football. And I'm going to be honest with you. Looking at this schedule and seeing how everything played out, I'm going to change my mind. I don't think we're going to split with the Browns. I think we're going to win both of them. I think this is a January game. It's going to be nice, cold in Pittsburgh, possibly snowy. I think Pittsburgh at this point is going to have developed a very solid run game. I think Harris is going to enjoy running in the snow during this game, and I think we come out with the dub. And I think it's going to be an impressive dub to say that. So,
The defensive tackles for the Browns need to play big against Pittsburgh in this game. If they do, it's going to be a very difficult game for Pittsburgh. I believe that the changeover in the defensive line position leaves a weakness in the run-stopping capabilities in the middle of their defense. That's just my opinion of it. That's a weakness. And then their off-ball linebackers, also a weakness. So that leads to me, if you can run between the tackles with power and move some people, which seems to be the plan, you know, Kevin Dotson, David DeCastro, and now the rookie Kendrick Green, if they can get movement on that interior defensive line, then I'm not worried about Myles Garrett. I think that Okorafor has the athleticism. He's shown well up against him. Villanueva was the one that struggled with Myles Garrett. He's not on the team anymore. You got Zach Banner now, who I think is probably a little bit more naturally gifted to the position, better at anchoring, better at using his length and strength. So I think our tackles will have a better game, and I think the interior offensive line will get some movement there and allow us to edge one out in another game that I feel would be low scoring, but a Pittsburgh W Week 17 sweeping the Browns back to the way it's supposed to be.
So that leads us to our final week, Week 18 at the Ravens. No, so at this point, I have us sitting at, I believe, 11-4, if I'm not mistaken, or 11-5, excuse me.
Yep.
11-5. I think at this point, the AFC playoff picture will play a large portion in what happens with this game, whether starters sit or anything like that. But I will say this is at Ravens on a short week. I'm going to have us losing this game at Baltimore. My bigger reason, because I think at this point we may have already locked up a wild card spot, and I don't think we're going to be in any kind of position to play for the number one seed. So there's no point in playing the starters or getting people hurt.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game now with there only being one team that gets that bye, right? And you figure the Chiefs probably aren't going to lose more than about two, maybe three games. With us both projecting Pittsburgh to lose at least five or six if they lose this last week, that leaves them just positioning who you're going to play with against and whether or not you're going to have any games at home, because I don't think Pittsburgh is going to win enough of them to get that number one seed this year. So I'm with you. I think that Pittsburgh could be in a position where it doesn't make a huge difference whether they win or lose the game.
Although I will say, I hope that they don't rest their starters. We saw what happened last year with that.
Yeah, they came out flat.
I hope they don't.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I also believe that you're probably not going to sweep the Ravens this year. You did last year. That was awesome. I doubt we do it 2 years in a row. I think this being in Baltimore gives them a really large advantage. And us, of course, having the short week, which they will have a full week. So, unfortunately, I'm going Ravens in the last week as well.
Yeah, so Pittsburgh is one of, I think, five or six teams, debatably seven, with five primetime games. That was the most any team was allowed to have. Mm-hmm. So that means they're still expecting us to play pretty well. The good teams get the primetime games. So
and they realize that, obviously, the Steelers have one of the largest fan bases out there. nationally and internationally, right? So we know that a lot of people are going to tune in regardless of, even if Pittsburgh's doing bad, there's a lot of people that hate the Steelers, and those people will be tuning in because they're going to want to rub it in our faces.
Yep.
Just hopefully we have way more wins than losses this year. But I think personally, if they finish 11-6, I'm going to count it as a pretty doggone good season. Would you like better than that? Obviously you'd like better than that. But I think with the transition and the turnover this year, losing so many key players, three starters on the offensive line from last year gone, not to mention other key players like Bud Dupree as well, you have to look at it and say, hey, if we can come away 11-6, that's pretty good.
Very good. Especially with...
Might even be enough to win the division. You never know. Maybe.
That's very true. Because, I mean... Our division, Pittsburgh has ranked the toughest schedule already, which is impressive based on our opponent's winning percentage from last year. And most of the time you see people in the division playing the same people. So everyone's playing pretty tough teams. The AFC North probably has the toughest schedule, maybe with one NFC division as well, kind of matching that a little bit. But I'm really excited to see what's going to happen. And I think that if we make the playoffs and they're smart about how they control the roster and control injuries and manage things, I think that we could have a deep playoff push, because it's just, football is just different than basketball. Any team can lose on any given day. We saw it last year with us losing to the Browns the way we did. That wasn't even close. It should have been, but it wasn't. So I think that if we make the playoffs and Pittsburgh wants to come out and play aggressively, I think the key things here are going to be, I think the two biggest key contributors for the majority of the schedule, especially the later push, are going to be Pat Freiermuth and Harris. I think those two give us the most flexibility when it comes to... We didn't have a solid running back in the playoffs last year. I hate to say that, but Connor just wasn't healthy.
And they couldn't convert in the red zone, and Freiermuth is a specialist there. That's what he does. He gets touchdowns in the red zone. He catches the ball when you throw it to him. How many times do you have Eric Ebron or Deontay Johnson catch one when we could have ended up in the end zone?
Yep.
It was very, very frustrating, and that's going to change now. And even the usage, we're getting a lot of reports out of rookie minicamp. I'm going to kind of transition into that a little bit here. And Najee Harris was being used everywhere, all over the field, even as an X wide receiver lined up outside. So they're intending on using him to create a bunch of matchup nightmares, basically, for our opponents.
Yeah.
And this is going to force what we've been complaining about for years that our defense has been struggling with. When a running back goes out in motion and he goes out to the sideline and then a corner goes over there and covers him, but then you get a wide receiver against a linebacker. That's what I want.
Yep.
Give me Juju against a linebacker.
Well, here's the thing. Even if they do, if they make that switch properly,
yeah,
Harris is going to outrun most of the linebackers in this league.
Yep.
He's a specialist when it comes to receiving. His route running is actually fairly sharp.
And his hands are friggin' nice, man. Oh, boy, are they nice.
So I think that even if they make the correct switch here, we're still going to put them... Imagine being out in a two tight end set. You have Chase Claypool, Juju out there, maybe Deontay instead of Chase.
Yeah.
But you have those two, say for now, Chase Claypool and Juju. And then you have Najee Harris in the backfield with Eric Ebron and Pat Freiermuth.
Mm-hmm. You can go big and run it, or you can throw it on people and you can create matchup. Because if you're in that formation that you're describing, the defense is probably in their base.
Yep. And you're going to create a mismatch the moment you motion anybody anywhere.
Because honestly, Ebron's a very difficult matchup for most linebackers, and then so is Najee Harris going to be. And now Freiermuth really adds into it.
Come out with a wide receiver on right and left, motion one to the other side, have two wide receivers on one. The mismatch is in the other direction every time.
Yeah. I think they'll do it a lot.
I think that this is going to be a very enjoyable season to watch. If the creativity is there with our offensive play calling, with the new offensive coordinator, I think that this will be a very fun season for us to watch some Steelers football. And I think this will be a great year for Ben, because he's going to go back to somewhat of a backyard style football when he used to play with Ken Whisenhunt and Bruce Arians. Those guys were always letting him have fun with it. And I think we got away from that the past two to five years, whatever. So I'm super excited to see how this year plays out with all the mismatches we can make on offense.
Yeah, I think look for something similar week one to what we saw. If you remember Will Johnson when he was the fullback for Pittsburgh, Will Johnson came in as a very highly athletic fullback. Pittsburgh knew it. and they went to an offense where they lined up in their base personnel, you know, one tight end, one fullback, one running back, and two wide receivers. And then they called an audible, and then it was five wide out, right? I think we're going to see this a lot, but with the two tight ends and the running back instead. Even if you bring Derek Watt in there,
can still catch.
Derek can catch the ball, and Derek can run routes.
He should have had two touchdowns last year.
So you can go, like, two tight ends, a fullback and a running back, and then go five wide. And it really creates some real serious matchup issues for your opponent. So I think with some good creativity, it's going to be a lot of fun with that. Speaking of some fun things, man, did you see what Quincy Roche did with his family members?
Oh, man, I did. So if you didn't know this, Quincy Roche's family are, I think it's safe to say, diehard Ravens fans.
Yeah, big time.
Big time Ravens fans. And Quincy Roche went out and got all his family personal presents.
They all have a terrible town now. He told them he don't even want to see the color purple. ever again.
You know what he should have done? He should have gotten them terrible towels and like Halloween themed or something, and had a little bit of purple in it just to play with them a little bit. Yeah. I don't know. It would have been funny. But either way, awesome to see that he's trying to convert his entire family to Steelers fans.
And really, if they don't convert, do they even love him?
Nah.
No, they don't.
No.
Yeah, just cut them out of your life.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Cut off. Exiled.
Steeler haters are not good people.
No, not at all.
That's all there is to
it. If you're listening to this and you're a Steelers hater, first off, thank you for listening this long. Second off, get out.
There's the door. Don't let it hit you on the way out.
Oh, man. But yeah, that's just really awesome to see that he's like, the passion he already has for a team that gave him a shot in the NFL. Not that he wouldn't have gotten drafted if we didn't draft him, let's be clear. But like, he's just, it's those guys that are like enjoying the process with a new team, a new family, a new environment. It's just very, very cool to see.
Speaking of cool to see things, with all the rookies being in Pittsburgh at minicamp, that led to four of them signing their contracts already.
Hey, that's what we like to hear.
The four last ones to be drafted by the Steelers are kind of the way that normally works, because there really isn't any negotiating. It's kind of, here's your contract, go ahead and sign it, young man, and they all did so. So Isaiah Loudermilk, the defensive lineman, linebacker on the outside, Quincy Roche, Trey Norwood, the safety slash corner, whatever they're going to use him as, maybe both, who knows. And then your short yardage back specialist slash punter slash, I don't know, arm wrestling champion, whatever he is, Presley Harvin III, PH3.
We'll take him. PH3, sign of that contract. We appreciate it, my friend.
Yeah.
Really good to see. Four guys signed.
Yep.
Like what, five more to go?
Five more to go. And these ones, just expect them to trickle in every now and then. We'll tell you the next couple weeks as these happen. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah,
and Pittsburgh also typically, most NFL teams, if not all of them, there's only one guy doing contracts for the most part. So in the sense of team to agent, so he has to go through each and every player. It's not like you're having these conversations with five different guys all at the same time. So you get those late rounds done. I don't think it's that Najee Harris and his team are like fighting for a better deal right now. It's that they probably haven't even been contacted about it yet.
Yeah, I don't think very many first round picks have signed yet, if any of them. So just don't expect him to be soon. But he was at rookie minicamp. If he was having an issue with his contract and didn't like what he was offered, he wouldn't have even gone to rookie minicamp. So I don't expect there to be any issues going on there.
Not at all. So now, believe it or not, we're going to head into the meat of this episode. The schedule took a little bit longer than we had planned, but we really enjoyed going over that. But now we want to talk about an interesting thing, which will be the position battles we think that Pittsburgh's going to face, have going on during training camp. So we have offense and defensive. However, we're only going offensive today. Defensive will be next week as James gets to share his maniac idea.
Dude.
You go ahead and tease it now.
Listen, I mondo some good ideas once in a while. There's a shortage in the outside linebacker room. There's a surplus in the defensive line room. I think you ask Henry Mondo to just drop like 10, 15 pounds, move him to outside linebacker, and outside linebacker number four is solved. Nobody else can cover kicks that's a defensive lineman like him. He's already doing what you want on special teams.
Well, let's not talk about it too much now.
All right.
Talk about it next week.
We
know you're excited.
We're going to do a live Facebook.
Because next week, not only is James excited to talk about Henry Mundo transitioning to a different position possibly, but it will be our 100th episode as a podcast.
Boom.
We are very excited for that. Very ready to enjoy the 100th episode. And you guys are welcome to drop on into that Facebook Live. Plan for that to be sometime between 6:30 maybe. My guess, if it comes to be a little bit earlier, we'll kind of just hang out and talk up until 6. Plan for us to start recording the podcast at 6. That's going to be at 6:15. So we'll be live on Facebook, but then we'll actually go through the process of recording the podcast for the normal weekly thing at 6:15-ish. So, but let's go into this breakdown, positional breakdown, the position battles. First one on the list is quarterback, but not QB number one, QB number three.
Yeah, because we feel that QB two, or at least I feel that QB two is kind of locked up.
Mason's, I don't, but we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I think Mason's kind of locked into that, especially since they gave him that $9 million and they gave Mr. Haskins league minimum. That kind of gives you an indication of where they think
he is. If you could have a starting quarterback at league minimum, that's pretty good.
If you can have a guy that probably ain't going to make the team at league minimum, that's
better.
Come
on. Let's, all right, here we go. So, QB3 position.
Realistically, this is up for grabs. White, Dwayne Haskins, the former first-round draft pick, versus Josh Dobbs, versus maybe even Mr. Rivers, the tryout player who was just at rookie minicamp.
Yeah, undrafted free agent guy.
He's from Slippery Rock.
From Slippery Rock.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. He was actually the quarterback at the Penn State Pro Day.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, so he was close enough that he was allowed to go to the Penn State Pro Day as far as the relative area that his college is
from.
Got
it. And then was thrown to Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, because Penn State didn't have any draft-eligible quarterbacks, so they allowed him to come and throw for their receivers and running backs and whatever.
Interesting.
So that actually caught the Steelers' attention enough for them to bring him in. So he was the only quarterback there.
I could have known him. I almost went to Slippery Rock for my master's program, but then I didn't. I would have just finished up right now.
Wow.
This would have been finishing year
two. Would have been episode one.
No, we would have still been recording. I'd have been making the drive. We would have been making this happen. No. So, yeah, really exciting that there's – I think there's it's exciting news that there's another guy in there for the rookie training camp. We talked about it before that they were probably going to bring somebody in, undrafted guy, no name, no one knows who he is. And this is a cool one. This is a guy from a school just about an hour away from where we're at right now recording. And so really interesting, really cool to see. And maybe, who knows, maybe he makes the practice squad, or maybe he makes, I don't think he makes the third.
I just think
Josh Dobbs has too much. If Haskins can't beat him out with talent, Dobbs has the knowledge.
Yeah.
Literally, he's a rocket scientist. And then he has the knowledge of the Steelers.
Playbook inside and out. Yeah, he knows everything.
Too much.
Yeah. So Dobbs, I think, is the right person to push Haskins because he's not a pushover. He's going to give you some exciting plays on offense. He has that dynamic capability of being a good runner that you don't have with Haskins. Haskins kind of a statue in the pocket. I'm glad that the Steelers have a fourth preseason game as to where everyone else only has three other than the Cowboys that they're playing on that fourth game.
Yep.
But you get the idea. You need the extra game for these later round guys and these back of the roster guys to prove whether or not they have it. And we'll find out in those preseason games. And that's the first position battle that we've got. The second one is running back three, and that's because we believe Najee Harris is a lock to be number one and Benny Snell a lock to be number two.
Yeah, then you're looking at guys, Anthony McFarlane, who James and I are both big on just for the fact that we've enjoyed using him in Madden. But other than that, he's unproven.
Athleticism,
he's
right?
He's very high in athleticism. Unproven on the actual football field in the NFL. Then you have Jalen Samuels, a guy that James and I both wish they would have gotten rid of last year. And then the newly acquired Kalen Ballage, who, in my opinion, has the best chance of being that number three guy, just because he's not going to be used very often, but his skill set, I think, outweighs both Benny Snell and what we've seen thus far of Anthony McFarlane. I think Ballage has enough tape and everything to really build up his resume for that number three spot. Or do they keep four?
Yeah, and where Ballage really, I think, has the upper hand is that he's shown a very good capability as a short yardage back. He converts a very high percentage of those runs in that situation. Jalen Samuels was mostly used as a receiving back, except last year he didn't catch the ball very well. And then Anthony McFarland. Hopefully, I would like to see Anthony McFarland on kick returns this year.
I would love that.
Because I don't think he's going to get the opportunity on the field. Being buried behind Benny Snell and behind the rookie, I just don't see him getting on the field other than the preseason. So, yeah, that's going to be a really interesting battle. Hopefully Jalen Samuels is ruled out very early in the process, but you never know. He could end up making the team. Wide receiver 6.
Yeah, assuming the top five are locked in, being Juju, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, James Washington, and Ray McLeod, who has proven himself to be a better than average return man, probably the best one we've had since Antonio Brown. Hasn't broken one yet, but we still are waiting to see that. There's a lot of guys here on this list. You got Rico Bussey Jr., who's my favorite to win it, mostly because I had him on one of my mock drafts. And then you also have guys like Anthony Johnson, who rode the practice squad last year, Matthew mm-hmm. Sexton. There's also Tyler Simmons, Cody White, and Isaiah McCoy.
Yeah.
So all guys that I think have enough talent to make it on an NFL roster, even if it's a practice squad, but very interested to see if they go. They're going to have a number 6. They always do.
Except last year.
Well, except last year. But I also think last year was, I think they wanted to have 6. They just didn't. But again, with Ray being mostly return man, maybe they only keep 5. I don't know. As long as that room stays healthy. If they keep 5, here's what I'm going to say. If they keep 5, 2 of these guys are going to be on the practice squad. If they keep 6, only 1 will be on the practice squad.
That makes a lot of sense to me, yeah. And I think as far as looking at this, Rico Bussey Jr. does stand out. Highly athletic receiver with good size. Anthony Johnson, with the experience from the practice squad last year, would at least know the offense a little bit. But Matthew Sexton, the shorter, really fast guy, has return capability, so he could push Ray. If he has a couple nice returns in the preseason, I could see him sneaking onto the roster. Tyler Simmons, another good height, weight, measurables kind of guy. So I would put the 4 of them as the favorites out of those 6, with really kind of a toss-up as far as who makes it. If you're looking for a return guy, though, look out for Matthew Sexton.
Well, here's the question. If Sexton makes the team and has some decent returns and shows some flashes in preseason, does that push Ray off the roster, or does that just have him be the backup return man?
I think it's just depth for an additional like slot wide receiver slash return man. You know, it's something that they don't really have anyone with that dynamic capability behind Ray. Fair. Right? I mean, Juju had a kick return for a touchdown once, but not because he outran everyone, because he ran through a couple tackles and never gave up like he always does.
Yeah.
Like, Juju is dynamic because of how hard he plays and how he never gives up on any play. But I would say you at least would have some depth there. Tight end three.
You got Zach Gentry, who was... haven't seen much out of. That's just where it is.
He is excellent at riding the bench.
Very good.
And not even dressing on Sundays. He's very good at it.
Yeah, and then you also have Kevin Radar, who we really haven't seen anything out of in the grand scheme of things. And then there's also potential, do we go out and draft or sign somebody? You know, Jesse James is still unsigned at this point in time. What happens with that position, that tight end three? And because most of the time, that's going to be a person who is one of the guys that's activated but doesn't dress.
Yeah, and it depends on the year. Like last year, they didn't dress tight end number 3 because they didn't like Gentry's capability of blocking, so they kept on using an additional offensive lineman, which then, of course, really kind of showed their hand with that they were going to run the ball. So you would prefer that number 3 tight end to have enough blocking capability, but also actually be able to go out in a pass and threaten as a receiver. So I think that kind of gives Kevin Rader the edge versus Gentry this year. But if they bring someone like Jesse James back into the fold, I think it's hands down his job and it's not even a contest.
Yeah, Jesse James would easily have number 3, which would be so weird considering he was our previous number 1 for a while.
But if he were to come back, realistically, he's a year away from being the number 2 behind Freiermuth.
Yeah,
and I would be all right with an All Penn State tight end.
Yes, you would. So would our good friend Josh. Josh would love that as well. Moving on, left tackle. Very important. The protector of the QB, the blind side. And we're looking here at Chukwuemeka Okorafor or Dan Moore Jr., the rookie. Very interesting battle going on here, because this will probably or could easily have an impact on the right tackle position as well, to some degree. But I'd be very interested to see. I personally think that Chooks has shown enough to be a starter, but I think Dan Moore, if he comes out and beats him in that battle, that proves that he's pulling off the Dotson from last year.
Yeah. Of
he's better than a fourth round talent.
If that happens, then all of a sudden Kevin Colbert looks like the offensive line drafting guru, somehow pulling starters in the third and fourth round year after year. So I think that Chooks is going to be given every opportunity to win the job and keep the job, and will have to play very poorly for Dan Moore Jr. To get the starting job over him. I don't think it's really fair to ask him to start at left tackle right out the gate as a fourth round pick anyway. But let's see what he does in the preseason. You never know. If he really locks it down in the preseason, then maybe he could be that guy in the future. Chooks is going in the last year of his rookie deal.
Yeah.
So it's true. Either pay him or move on after this year. So hopefully Dan Moore Jr. can show us something. Speaking of rookies that we'd like to see something from, the center position.
Yeah, you got BJ Finney fighting for this position, as well as Kendrick Green, the rookie that we drafted this year. And I think that if Kendrick Green doesn't win this positional battle, I am concerned. That is just my factual information and my emotional state of mind right now. I think BJ Finney is a solid backup, but a solid backup at best. I don't think BJ Finney it would start on
most teams.
One or two he would start on at center, but that's it.
And I like him as a spot starter. You know, you can get through a couple games with him, but he's not really the talent level of what you're looking for out of your starting offensive lineman. So I would expect Kendrick Green to beat him out, hopefully before the season starts. We'll find out, though, and that's going to be something very important to watch, because the center is the quarterback of the offensive line. He tells everybody who they're responsible for blocking. So the IQ of the man may be more important than the athleticism, but he does have a very serious amount of athleticism there. Our next battle that we're looking at is the depth in the interior offensive line. We feel the top four guys in the interior offensive line are a lock, right? BJ Finney's making the team. Kendrick Green's making the team. Kevin Dotson's making the team. David DeCastro is making the team. But you're going to have at least one more backup interior offensive lineman. There's no way they only keep one backup interior offensive lineman. So that puts you at the battle of J.C. Hassenhauer versus Aviante Collins versus Rashad Coward. Coward got a lot of playing time with the Bears last year. He's a converted defensive lineman who's a pretty physical guy. Aviante Collins, a cast-off from the Minnesota Vikings, who was actually in the running for the starting guard position last year, lost that battle. And then J.C. Hassenhauer, been with Pittsburgh for a couple years now, but you really kind of don't want him starting. You don't want him playing much because he's just kind of undersized, right? He's a smaller guy. He's never going to be an offensive lineman who pushes the other guy backwards. Your best bet is that he doesn't get pushed around too badly. So I would like to see this go in another direction with either Collins or Coward, but I would give Hassenhauer the edge based on his center capabilities.
Yeah, I agree with the edge there. However, I do think that either one of those other two guys, I think, will be the ones to make the team. Aviante Collins is my personal more than likely going to make it, in my opinion, because I just think Coward making that switch from D-line probably has a little bit more of work to do with his feet than maybe Collins does. And again, Collins was fighting for a starting job last year.
And was highly athletic out of the combine. His 40-yard dash was incredible. He was very strong. So there's a real serious ceiling when it comes to Collins.
So that is my input. I think Collins makes this. J.C. Hassenhauer will no longer be on the team moving forward. And then the last position we're going to look at, offensive tackle number four. So we obviously think you have Chooks. You have Dan Moore Jr., and then
Zach Banner.
Obviously going to make it. Which, did you see what Najee Harris said about Banner?
That boy is huge.
That's what he had to say about him when he saw him. That's hilarious.
But he is, though. He was.
He is. So those are
like
the three guys.
He's like 340 pounds. He's a big
massive
boy.
Massive man. Those are the three guys that are for sure going to make it. So who's offensive tackle four going to be? You have guys like Joe Haig, you have Anthony Coyle, and then you also have Jaron Johnson.
Jaron Jones, and then John LeGlue also. So there's a couple guys, three of those names were on the practice squad last year, the last three on that list, with Anthony Coyle being the one called onto the active roster late in the year when the injuries started mounting on the offensive line. I'm personally pulling for Coyle, Jones, or LeGlue to beat out Joe Haig, just because I don't think Joe Haig is that great of a blocker, and then that will help out as far as the compensatory formula as well. That'll allow us to get another six-round pick. So if one of those guys proves more than Haig, I'd rather say just cut Haig and move on. I mean, you're at least comfortable enough with all three of those guys to carry him on the practice squad, and there's no more limitations with that. So you can do that as many years as you'd like. So hopefully we get a good offensive tackle battle there. And if that does happen, that bodes well for the quarterback battle, right? Because those guys will have time in the preseason games.
Absolutely. That will matter a lot. So those are the offensive positional breakdowns that we think are going to have the most impact. It's basically every position other than fullback, because there's one.
Yeah, there's only one on the roster. So, right.
That's how we think it's going to go. And then again, next week we are going to go over the defensive roster breakdown and positional battles that we believe will have the biggest impact or the biggest questions moving forward through the four preseason games we have, as well as into the regular season.
And don't forget, with us doing a Facebook Live next week, that means if you have any questions that you'd like us to answer, bring them to the show. Ask us between now and then, or just join us on that Facebook Live. Ask them while we're recording. We will absolutely address them because we want this to be very interactive. The more of you that join, the more fun it's going to be for everybody. So come join us next Monday night.
Absolutely. As we celebrate our 100th episode of Steelers by the Lake podcast. Again, we could do this stuff without you, but it'd be really boring. We wouldn't have any interaction. We do this stuff for fun, and we do this stuff for you guys. We really appreciate just the constant support from you guys, the communication we get, and just everything that you guys, all the feedback we get. We can't thank you guys enough. So be sure to go and like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your hosts, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.